Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber. You can follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And if you would like to continue listening and share our radio program with your friends and family, you can find us on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio, as well as the Mental Health Radio News Network. So just Google us and you can find us right there. I often struggle with my own family, but especially with a lot of my patients, and I get a lot of self-reflection when I'm dealing with my patients that are going through addictions themselves, but also when family members and friends are going through addictions. And the question is, what do you do when your friend is an addict? And it's a tough, tough way to go. You start feeling all these different emotions. You get angry at them. You start feeling guilty that maybe you have contributed to stuff. And it becomes a real, real reinforcing, self-deprecating kind of circle that can really upset you and your balance. And if you're trying to help your friends, that's not the way to be. So as we go through our research and data here, we came across a resource, and I wanted to bring that resource with you today. You know, we all know addiction does impact the addict. We also know it impacts everybody that has anything to do with them. It shatters dreams, destroys marriages, destroys families. Many people totally feel helpless watching someone they care about struggle with addictions. There's just so many nuances that you don't even think about until you're going through it. And sometimes you don't even see it until years after you've been through it. And it's very difficult. And we're blessed today to have an addiction counselor and actually a former addict, Kathy Williamson. She has a website out, myfriendsanaddict.com. And she is here today to talk to us about the book, My Friend is an Addict, What Can I Do? So with that, I'd like to welcome Kathy Williamson to my show. Thank you very much, Kathy. And can you give us the Reader's Digest guide version of how you came to be where you're at today?
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Huber. As you said, I've had my own 10-year addiction to pain pills, and that was back in the 1980s. So I've walked the steps that they're in. I know the mental battles they go through. And I was also married to a person who was an ex-addict but still had the terrible behavior and sucked the life out of me.
That's right.
So that's what it's
well,
like.
Wait a minute. You were on prescription. How did you become an addict? Aren't you safe when a doctor does that?
Well, I started out with recurrent pancreatitis. I had it virtually all the time for 6 months. So that basically got me addicted to pain pills. And because at that time I hated my parents, it was an easy escape. But even once I found out what got me in, that wasn't enough to get me out. Because the longer you're dealing with an addiction, or how did I get in or how did I get out, the more introverted, self-centered you become. So now you have an additional problem of breaking that mode.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I'm proud of you working your way out of it. You know, I mean, you know, we talk a lot about 12-step programs here and cognitive behavioral programs, but the research shows even the best one of those only have about, you know, 16 to 20% success rate. So it's hard for everybody. It really is. So congratulations on that.
Yeah. What got me out of my addiction was I found out what I was passionate about in life, which at that time was being a counselor on a crisis hotline. And once I knew one day the doors would open for me to have my own hotline. And when it did, within 3 to 4 months, my whole life turned around as a byproduct of using my passion to reach out to love and serve others. So when an addict says he wants to get clean, he's not lying. But it takes more than a decision. And most people don't know that. And they don't know, okay, what do you do? How do you help them? And I try to help them to shift their focus to what is your passion in life. Unfortunately, about 95% of people don't know. So that is a struggle to help the person to identify what they're passionate about. It may not be a career, but everybody is passionate about something. And if you
exactly. And even people who don't have addictions are, I mean, you know how many students have walked into my office over 21 years of teaching college and I don't know what I need to, what I'm going to do with my life. And I'm like, I'm still trying to figure that out. What do you mean? You know?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. And, when you don't have an addiction, it's not so easy or it's not such a bad thing to just kind of jump in there with both feet and explore and find out what you like. But when you have an addiction, you need something more than that. You can't just jump into, say, a new career automatically just to, hey, this will be my rescue. This will be my tool to get out of this. You have to, like you said, you have to have that drive and that motivation behind that.
Right. And that's why operating within your passion, it provides that additional emotional fuel to keep you headed in the right direction. And the other thing I teach is how to handle your emotions. I teach a technique called emotional freedom technique or tapping. And it's a quick, you can learn it in 5 minutes, go on YouTube and search EFT plus whatever emotion you're dealing with. Anxiety, anger, whatever.
But EF as in Frank?
Yeah, emotional freedom technique.
Technique, okay. EFT plus, say, depression or anxiety, okay.
Right. So I do provide my own ebook that I wrote for addicts, Tapping Away Your Addiction, to help them get their emotions under control. Because look what happens when a person comes out of rehab. How many times within 2 days to 2 weeks they've relapsed because they can't handle their emotions.
By lunch after they get out, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I have a lifelong addict right now who's struggling with alcoholism, and finally he sat down and he goes, you know, I'm depressed. And I've been treating my depression with alcoholism. And it's like, we've got some direction now. We're working on that. It's so important. It is so important to be able to identify this is what's going on. And it took years of just regular talk therapy and that process through the alcohol and through periods of sobriety back to alcohol over and over and over before this individual was able to say that, and it was like life-changing for them.
Yeah. I truly believe there are underlying issues that a person is escaping from. And unless they are identified and dealt with and resolved, those triggers are there, and they're going to pop up, and there's going to be relapse.
So true. You are speaking from experience also, but you know, I'm speaking from the research and from a practitioner's side. That is such an accurate statement. You know, we talk about how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but the light bulb has to want to change. It's more than that. It really is.
It is.
You know, you have to have that direction, that that passion, as you put it, to make it successful.
Right. So I just want to touch base on what can a friend or a spouse do today to try and help.
So what can they do?
Well, first of all, they need to help the person understand that it's more than a decision and help them identify their passion in life. Perhaps the friend or the family member can see it, but the other person can't. And shift their focus to, okay, how can I build an awesome future based around this passion? Again, it doesn't have to be a career. It can be something that they totally love. They can love basketball. That just really turns them on. Okay, where can they get involved?
Right.
You know? And then the second thing is teach them EFT, because they've got to be able to handle their emotions. And the third thing is don't take their accusations personally. I'm on many Facebook groups of wives of alcoholics, and it's just unbelievable how the addicts blame everybody else for their problems. And it tears the wife down to where she begins to believe, hey, maybe I am the cause. And you're not. It's the alcohol speaking.
Exactly.
You know. But they've got to.
Definitely.
They have to themselves bring their passion in their life back into their life. So the spouse or the friend, you know, in order to avoid getting trapped into the addict's games and so forth, stay focused on what do you want with your life? Where do you want to go? You know, there's more to the day-to-day living and trying to keep things in order so nobody finds out that your spouse is an alcoholic. There's so much more to life.
That is so true. And it's hard to explain that to an addict while they're at that point. But it's also hard for those people who are enmeshed with them. They can't see past that either. And they bought into the manipulative behavior that the addict has to successfully maintain their addiction, because that's the only coping skill they know. And it's very difficult to get, because you're not just then fighting the alcohol and or the alcohol and the addict. You're fighting the whole system that they've built around them, which makes up their friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult, difficult. And again, you know, as I told you before we started recording, I wish I had this, you know, several years ago, because I think it would have been something. I mean, we're talking back in the 90s. I think it would have been something that would have helped the situation, and we wouldn't have ended up where we were at. So
yeah. I wish
as a family.
Yeah, I wish that EFT would have been more widely known when I was in my addiction back in the 80s, because it's such a game changer on being able to handle your emotions.
And that's what you got to have, though, are those tools. You know, talk about it being a game changer. It's the engine that gets in the car. I mean, being the addict is the car, and the seats are the drug. You got to have that engine to get somewhere else, or it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on my show today. Where can my listeners get your book and follow you? Are you available for, you know, public speaking, that sort of stuff? Where can we get information on you?
You can buy the book on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. On my website, myfriendisanaddict.com, you can download a free PDF of the 232-page book. And inside the book, inside the book are bonuses such as that tapping manual. And if you're a Christian, I've got a scriptures package that will also help you.
Awesome.
Now
that's very generous of you, you know, working on books myself, to be able to give that away for free. So that's very commendable. I think there's a lot of people out there who can appreciate that.
And if you think about it, a PDF may be better, because if your spouse sees the book, that may be another trigger for him to go off.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's why I offer it that way.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's very insightful. And I think that has to do with not only your training, but your experience, because you have a little perspective. Not every therapist has experienced addiction or themselves personally. Maybe they've not even experienced it in their family. So, you know, I really appreciate what you've done and coming out with your book and sharing that with the world as it is. So thank you very much. Do you have any parting words for my listeners?
There's always hope to get your life back, always, and never forget that.
Awesome. Well, that concludes our show today, our edition of Mainstream Mental Health Radio. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org and on the Mental Health News Radio Network. Don't forget, life is what happens while you're making plans, so buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram at Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter at Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.